Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
You can open your Bible today to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. I'm going to talk about commitment. When my oldest daughter became a freshman in high school, she joined the marching band, and her instructor, he was hardcore. The kids had to be on the field, on the practice football field, at 5:30 in the morning. And there were several times the sprinklers had just turned off, and so they're marching on the field, doing their formations with wet shoes, sometimes having to trounce through the mud, and it was cold. They went from August, and they started actually in the summertime, very early in the morning, and they went until October, and it was just a big commitment. They had to memorize their music. They had two-hour practice before school, practice again during band period, practice again after school. They were gone on the weekends, and yet those kids went out because they were committed to the marching band. And that was something they valued, something that was very important to them. And we see commitment take many shapes and forms. We see it with athletes, with the football players, the swimmers, the volleyball players. We see it with musicians practicing hours upon end. You see it with college students, grad students, spending hours and hours of studying and writing papers so that they can get their degrees. We see married couples sticking with each other through thick and through thin. We see Christians in foreign lands who have been beaten, they've been tortured, some have been imprisoned, some have had their houses looted and burned. And why? Because there's a commitment there. And this morning, we want to talk about commitment. In Isaiah chapter 50, when Isaiah prophesies in this 50th chapter, something we need to realize, it's not really Isaiah speaking this, but it's Jesus saying this. Jesus is saying the words of Isaiah 50. The way we know, if you take a look in verse 3, it talks about clothing the heavens with blackness. It's a reference to the three-hour eclipse that took place when Jesus was on the cross. Verse 6 talks about being whipped and beaten, the beard being pulled out and being spit upon. This chapter is really Jesus speaking and communicating. And we're going to pick it up in verse 4. Jesus is saying, "The Lord God, Father God, has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the commitment that you had on the cross. Lord, as that old song says, you could have called 10,000 angels to come and set you free, but instead you went through it for us. And I pray today that we will catch a greater revelation of your love for us, and also give us, Father God, a greater commitment to you. I ask this in your name, amen. If you want to take notes this morning, take out your bulletin, and on the back we have a message section. And there's 3 points we want to make today as we talk about this topic of commitment. Point number one is commitment involves investment, energy, suffering, and sacrifice. It involves investment, energy, suffering, and sacrifice. Commitment is work. It's work. You must exert yourself. A namby-pamby, lackluster effort is not commitment. Athletes put in early morning workouts. I was talking to one of our swimmers, one of the girls in the church. She swims. She's up at 5:15 every morning. And she was talking about one of her workouts, and I'm going, oh, Jesus, thank you, God, I'm not in swimming. It's grueling, the long hours. I remember when my son played football. They were lifting weights all through the summertime. They never had off. They lifted weights all year round. There is energy. There is suffering. There is sacrifice. You go through practices 3 days at 100 degrees outside. Why do students do that? Why do they exert that? It's because they are committed. And here's the thing. The greater amount of investment, energy, and suffering you put in, the more you get out of it. If you've ever been in athletics of any kind or in music of any kind, you know that the more you practice, the more you work out, the more you do, the more you receive back, the better you become. And sometimes when we look at commitment, it's like, man, dude, I don't want to really exert. A lot of us, we want to have a model's body or a ripped body without exerting the commitment to do it. How many would agree with that? Yeah. It would be great to look like, you know, those guys that, you know, rip, their t-shirts are off, and, you know, they don't have a six-pack, they have like a 12-pack on them. I mean, just ripped everywhere. But that takes commitment. And being a Christian involves the same kind of commitment. Jesus had that commitment. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, Jesus said, I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. The Lord will help me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. This verse references just a portion of the suffering. It didn't talk about the nails that were driven into his hands and feet. How when the cross is dropped in the ground, it separates his shoulders. It doesn't talk about the splinters that drive into his back. How hanging on the cross, Jesus is suffocating. And every time he moves, it sends lightning-like pain through his body. But he has to push himself up the cross just to get a breath. That verse only touches a portion of what he went through. The energy, the suffering, and the sacrifice that was involved in the commitment. There's a word there, it says, it set my face like a flint. That's another word for a rock. Jesus said, I have a stone cold gaze on one thing, and that's accomplishing the redemption of mankind. I have a rock solid commitment to you and to God the Father. That's what Jesus did. He says, I am committed. I am not letting anything stop me. I am going to obey my Father and save humanity from their sins. And so, a good question for us this morning as we're talking about commitment is, where is our commitment level with Jesus Christ? How much do we invest in our relationship with God? The alarm goes off. Oh, man. I'm too tired to get out of bed and have devotions. I'm just going to hit snooze again. I'd rather stay in bed than talk to the one who loved me. You know, it's so easy when that happens, but where is our passion and our pursuit of God? If we are committed, then spending time reading the Word, spending time talking and praying to Him, giving the way God's impressing upon us to give, serving in the ministries God's impressing upon us, witnessing to people, sharing with people when He opens up doors, those things, yeah, there's going to be some fear there when God opens doors, but if I've got this commitment to Him, it's like, you know what? I can do this. He's with me. If my commitment level is there, then I will invest time and energy and maybe even suffering and sacrifice. I mean, in America, I don't go through a whole lot of suffering for Jesus. There's not many people in America that are being whipped and beaten. Their houses are being looted. I mean, we have it really pretty easy. And yet sometimes, well, man, I don't know if I want anyone to make fun of me for being a Christian. Well, they call me a Bible banger, a pew thumper, a holy roller. You're a fanatic. You're a religious person. Jesus gave so much for us. Where's my commitment? I found this week. I was reading in Mark chapter 4 in my devotions, and I was reading in the New Living Translation. It was the parable of the sower, and it was talking about how some of the seed falls in the thorns, and then the translation I usually read, it says it chokes it out. But when I read it in the New Living today, it says it crowded out the word. And God spoke to me and said, Craig, are you letting other things crowd out the life that I want to produce in you? It talks about the anxieties, and it's like, Craig, do you let anxieties and worries crowd out my peace and my joy in your life? It talks about the desire for to be rich. And I felt God say, you know, wanting different things, wanting different experiences, even wanting to be successful in accomplishments, be rich in accomplishments, those things can distract you from hearing the voice of the Spirit. Just the busyness of your life, you want to accomplish this and accomplish that all throughout the day, it crowds out the life of God that I'm trying to produce in you. And it was like, God, forgive me, because I'm letting things that don't really matter crowd out. And God spoke to me, it's commitment. Are you letting some things crowd out the life of God in you? It is so easy to do that. I said, God, help me to be more committed in my life. Help me not to let the things of this world crowd out you and the things that really matter. There's a second thing about commitment that we see here in Isaiah. And commitment is doing the right thing even when we don't want to or when we don't feel like it. It's doing the right thing when you don't want to or don't feel like it. And Isaiah verse 50, verse 5, going to look at the last part of verse 5. Jesus says, I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Now, Jesus was God's Son who was sent from heaven to earth to pay the price for the sins of the world. Jesus knew that was his reason for coming. But here's the thing. As that hour is approaching, as that time is approaching, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. And he asks God, he says, if there's any other way for the redemption, for the forgiveness of humankind to take place, if there's any other option, Lord, do that. I don't want to die. This is what he said in Matthew 26, verses 38. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. You see, this was weighing heavy on Jesus because he knew what was coming up. He knew it's not just the physical torture of the cross and the beating and the spitting and the beard being pulled out and the crown of thorns and all that, but it's also being separated from God. It's receiving God's punishment and wrath upon sin as he was there on the cross. And Jesus is saying, it's weighing on him. He goes a little farther. He falls on his face and he prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He's saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus had a rock solid commitment. He set his face like flint. And he said, God, if there's no other way, then your path is the path that I'm choosing. I was not rebellious. I did not turn away. You see, Jesus didn't feel like dying, but he did the right thing anyway. There may be some of you here this morning. There's a right thing you know that God is calling you to, but you're struggling with it. You don't feel like doing it. You're afraid of doing it. You don't want to do it. But commitment means doing the right thing regardless. That's what commitment is. That's the kind of commitment Jesus had. The last thing we're going to learn about commitment this morning is that commitment flows out of what we value. Commitment flows out of what we value. 13 years ago, the first weekend of October 2004, I ran in the Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities Marathon, 26 miles, 26.2.4, whatever it is. And I remember I had to start a year earlier to run the marathon, to begin training for it. When I started out, I was going to go a half mile. I only made it like three, four blocks. I walked back home. And this, you know, I'm in deep weeds here. And I had to study for it. I had to learn about it. I bought two pair of running shoes. I read as I studied that by the time you get through training, your shoes wear out, and you don't want a new pair of shoes. You need the identical pair of shoes so that your feet are used to it, and you start to break them in a little bit about 2 months before the race, so that you've got lots of cushion when you start to do that. And I began to study. And so I would run every morning. 5 o'clock, the alarm gets off, and I started in November. Now, we lived in northwest Iowa when I ran this marathon. I'm running in December and January and February because I planned it all out. I've got to establish a base before I even start. I mean, I need to get up to 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles before I can think about running further. Because there's a progression you build on a marathon. And so I'm running through the snow and the cold and the I'm bundled up in all my gear. I put in over 1,000 miles in training for the marathon. Why did I do it? Because it had value to me. I valued it. And because I valued it, I was willing to spend time and energy. I was willing to suffer. I was willing to sacrifice because it had value. And if something has value to us, then we commit to it, even when we don't feel like it. And in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5, this is what Jesus said. He says, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." Now that phrase, "the Lord God opened my ear," is an interesting statement. In your notes, write down Exodus 21, okay? Exodus 21. And verse 4 through 6, Exodus 21, verse 4 through 6 refers to a practice that would take place if a Hebrew had a debt and was sold into slavery. The Hebrew would work for 6 years, paying off his debt, and the 7th year he was set free. If he was a single person, when he came in, he went out a single person. If he was married and came into slavery with his wife, then when he left, his wife went with him. But now, look at verse 4. It says, if his master has given him a wife. So if he gets married during slavery, if the master gives him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's and he shall go out by himself. So the person who's being set free goes out and leaves his wife and his children behind. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. Verse 6, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and the master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. When it says, the Lord opened my ear, it's referring to getting that ear pierced where you're saying, I'm going to serve you forever, Master. And what Jesus was saying as he's approaching the cross, as he's looking at the cross, he says, I love you, Master, Father God. And I love my wife and my children. You know what two terms are for the church, for Christians? The bride, the wife. Christ is the husband, we are the wife. And also children of God. We sang about, we're children of God today. No longer slaves of fear, but children of God. Jesus says, I love my father, my master. And I love my wife, those who are following me, and her children, all the disciples that are going to be reproduced and made through generations. And because I love them, I'm not rebellious to your command to die. I did not turn away from it, but I set my face like flint, and gave a rock-solid commitment. Jesus values you. That's how much he loves you. And because of the value he put upon you, he died. God so loved you, the world. You're part of the world. Isn't that beautiful? That is so awesome. I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. Oh, Jesus. There are some of you here this morning, you really are struggling with something and you're not really feeling loved by God. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, this is what it says. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, Jesus is talking, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Friends, if you're weary this morning, maybe you even feel like giving up on God, Jesus has a word to speak to you. That word is, I value you. You matter to me. If you doubt that, just look at the cross. Look at the cross. Look at the suffering. Look at the commitment. Don't think for a moment I've left you. Don't think for a moment I don't care. Don't think for a moment that your cries have fallen to the ground unheard. I value you. I gave my life to save you. I want relationship with you. So no matter what you're going through, listen to the word of the Lord for the weary today. God loves you.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.